2010, I had this big deal, corporate job, you know, with the big paycheck and all that nonsense, and it suddenly went away. And I was in kind of a dark place because I had convinced myself that I couldn't afford to be in ministry because it doesn't pay very much. I couldn't afford to go into teaching because it doesn't pay very much. And a wise counselor made a suggestion, and it really made a difference in my life. I started in December of 2010 handwriting the book of Hebrews. And I handwrote the entire book of Hebrews. Now, if you work in your Bible and you highlight in your Bible, anybody, how many of you have ever write or mark in your Bible? Anybody? Good. I'm glad to hear that. But, you know, you go along and you read a verse that's, like, particularly interesting, and you highlight it so you won't forget it. So when I handwrote the book of Hebrews, when I got to one of those passages, I highlighted it in my Bible, but I wrote it in a different color in my journal. I say all of this to introduce the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is, we're going to do a verse-by-verse study of this epistle. We don't know who the author is, although you may have heard over the years that Paul wrote it. We don't actually know that. We don't know who wrote it. There's lots of different theories. Some people think Paul wrote it. Some people think Luke wrote it. Some people think Barnabas wrote it. Maybe Apollos. We don't know. What we do know that for the first several centuries of the church, it was just accepted as canon because the theology in this book is so right on. What we do know about the book of Hebrews is who it was written to. The book of the Hebrews. It was written to the Jewish folks. The character of the book is relies heavily on the Old Testament, as you'll see. But the purpose, the theme of the book of Hebrews is carrying on under persecution. In the first part of the century, the church was under persecution from all sides. The Jewish Christians were getting heat from the Jews who didn't believe in this new cult of Christianity. The Christians were getting heat from the Romans because they didn't like the cult, so they were getting it from all sides. Throughout its pages, the Hebrews make it clear that Jesus exceeds all other people, pursuits, objects, or hope. Jesus exceeds everything. Hebrews pictures Jesus as better than the angels, as bringing salvation, as offering a better hope than the Mosaic law, that he is a better sacrifice than bulls or goats, and is providing a better inheritance in heaven. Jesus indeed superior to all others. Jesus superior to all others. So as we begin, turn to with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. We're only going to do three verses today, but there's an enormous amount of stuff here in these first few verses. In 1:1, we notice that unlike some of the other epistles, there's no greeting, there's no introduction. This is the book from whoever. It just jumps right into the content. The writer opens with a powerful truth that immediately soaks your soul in five amazing aspects of the character and nature of Jesus. Five amazing things. Let's read the first three verses together, maybe. If I could have a click a slide. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Our next slide goes on to say this. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now there's a lot in those three verses. There is a lot. See, this is written, the second generation of believers are struggling. Jesus hadn't come back yet. They're being persecuted. Some are drifting away and dropping out. We live in a time today when thousands of people keep their names on the church rolls, but they never show up. They never give. They never serve. So the writer of Hebrews reminds the readers to quit looking at the world conditions, quit looking at the world, and to put their eyes on Jesus. We sang a song earlier. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things, bad things, terrible things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So we're going to turn our eyes to Jesus and look at the five incredible truths. Do you see how awful the world is today? I don't even watch the news anymore. I get a little bit of news on the internet, but it's just everything's a bad story. If you looked at the world today, you would get the impression that Christianity is dead. We're attacked from all sides. We're getting to the point where talking about being a Christian in the public square will get you vilified and attacked, or at least made fun of, right? So when that happens, if you take your eyes off of Jesus and who he actually is, it's really easy for you to retreat into your church. Back in the 1920s, there was a thing, it was called the Scopes Trial. And this school teacher was called up on charges for teaching evolution in the schools. So there was this big trial, and these very famous attorneys fought this battle in court, and it was broadcast on the radio. It was a big, big, big deal. Now, ultimately, the man was convicted because it was against the law to teach evolution. But here's what happened. The prosecutor in the case kept calling up this, I think it was William Jennings Bryan, was called to be a witness, and he couldn't defend his faith. He just said things like, well, the Bible says it, and I believe it, and that's it. And this was a secular trial. And the point being, even though the guy was convicted, he made the Christian look so silly, or sound so silly on the radio, that from that point on, people retreated. They retreated inside the walls of their church because they would get ridiculed out in the world. If we take our eyes off of Jesus and just look at the world and listen to what the world says about us, listen to what the world says about Jesus, it's going to be real easy for us to find ourselves in the same place that the Hebrews are. It's just easier to walk away. It's just easier to give up on this whole Christian enterprise. But it all comes down to who is Jesus. More importantly, it comes down to who you think Jesus is. There's a group out there called the Jesus Seminar, and they claim to be scholars, and they think Jesus was a real guy and that his teachings are really wonderful and that you should follow his teaching along. But he's not divine. He's not the Son of God. He just had good teachings. Who Jesus is makes all the difference. Let's look at the next slide. I want to go back to one of the verses. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son. The prophets had come along. They proclaimed the glory of God. They forecast what's going to happen. In Isaiah, it itemizes what's going to happen at the crucifixion. It tells everybody. The history of the Jewish people is, if you obey me and you follow me, I will protect you. If you turn away from me, there will be forces that will be allowed to come in that will destroy you. And it happened over and over and over again. So when the last book of the Old Testament is written, there's a 400-year gap with no more revelation. And then along comes Jesus. And all of his teachings, he relies heavily on the Old Testament, but he keeps saying, you have heard it said, but I say. And he proclaimed to them, what I am saying now is the actual words of God. So he spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the Old Testament scriptures. But now remember when this was written, it's about 65 AD. The letter to the Hebrews is saying, now he's speaking to us directly through his Son. God's main communication method was through the Old Testament prophets, but once Jesus came to the planet, God said, this is my final way to talk to you, through my son Jesus. Since Jesus, there have been others who have claimed to have gotten more information from God.